long narrative, and so I'm not going to ask you to stand while I read it all, but I would ask you to stand and let's pray and ask God to help us before we presumptuously make any attempt to look at his word together. All right, so would you stand and let's seek God for his help together. Father, we want to thank you for another wonderful privilege to gather in your name. Thank you for everything you brought us through. As the song says, every mountain and every valley, every test, every trial, every fire, every storm, every temptation. Thank you for every challenge, Lord. Challenge in our homes, every challenge in our neighborhoods, challenge on our jobs, challenge in our families, every challenge financially, every challenge in these old bodies, every challenge in the environment in which we live. We just thank you, Lord, that you brought us through it all, and we're here today as a testimony of your goodness to us, and we can say with all of the saints that that God is good. God is good and worthy to be praised. So we just praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. And we confess that we need your help as we come to the scriptures, because unless you help us, we won't see. Unless you help us, we won't understand. Unless you help us, we won't apply. Unless you help us, we won't obey. And so help us now, Lord. In Jesus' great name we pray. And everyone that believes said, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. So our subject for today is... Brother Darn, I need a little help one more time there. Jesus lifted up to worship. And, of course, next week we're going to be looking at him lifted up in another way. But I thought it'd be good this week to look at him when he was being worshiped, before we look at him being lifted up to die. And so today we're going to look at Jesus being lifted up to worship. Y'all want to do that? Yeah. Hallelujah. As we begin, I don't know, Brother Darn, if batteries are going down or something's happening. As we begin, we are actually at the last week of Jesus' life, and that's the book of John deals with the last week of Jesus' life on earth, and God has prepared special worship for him. Isn't this wonderful? God has prepared special worship for him on this week of his life. Now, this worship we're going to see comes from various venues of life and society. We're going to see here that there are people that we've got to find a Jewish woman, you see, that worships Jesus. We're going to see that there's a Jewish crowd and the Gentiles. So you can see God putting together this chorus, you see. chorus of people that are worshiping Jesus before he's lifted up for another purpose. And so these worshipers are not concerned about public opinion. I think we could learn something here. They're not concerned about what people around them think, you see? True worshipers are not concerned about what other people are saying about them, because their eyes and their heart is what? Fixed on Jesus. Huh? Yeah. They're not trying to impress other people. And it's a sad thing that people come together to worship and try to impress each other. The Bible just warns people, don't even try to dress to impress other people. You see? Don't dress and come into worship to take the attention off of worship and what? Put it on yourself. Because people, true worshipers come what? Not to give attention to you, but to what? Worship the Lord. Yeah? And so these worshipers are preparing Jesus for the next phase of his ministry. And as I said, we'll talk about that next week, because the next phase is going to be different. You know, betrayal and flogging and mocking and crucifixion and then ultimately death, you see. And so all of us need to remember this. And I don't want to get sidetracked here too much, but just because things are going well now doesn't mean that that's the plan that God has for you. You see, Jesus knew that all of this praise was going to end soon. Yeah, the people may be praising you right now, but what's ahead may be different, you see. And so Jesus wasn't, so distracted by the praise that he forgot his mission. And you and I need to remember that. You're going to get a lot of people that heap a lot of praise on you along the way, but you need to stay focused on what God has called you to do. Because life is hard. If you're following Jesus, Jesus said that the way is easy that leads to death and destruction. But the gate is small, and this way is narrow, the road is narrow, and it's difficult, and those who come this way are few. Yeah? So stay focused regardless of what's going on in your life right now. So that's where we begin. And we're going to look at kind of unpack this with three big ideas. We're going to look at worship from Mary, and then we're going to look at this Jewish crowd that worships Jesus, and then finally we're going to look at these Greeks that show up to worship Jesus. And you know, can you kind of see the chorus of people that God is putting together, you see? Chorus of people that God's putting together before he heads to the cross. Yeah. And of course, you think about it, these are in many ways a lot of unlikely people. Women were so disrespected and so unappreciated in the first century, and yet you know how God used women, right? Not only to support Jesus in the background, but think of how God used women after the resurrection and here, even before his death. And so I'd say to the women and anyone that's oppressed today, take heart. If God has a plan for you, nobody can stop you. Nobody, it doesn't matter how many obstacles they put in front of you. If God has a plan, it's going to happen. If God is for us, yeah, who can be against us? Hallelujah. So let's take a look at Mary first. Y'all ready? All right, let's go. So the first thing I want to observe is what I call devotion and glory when it comes to Mary. That's in the first three verses here of John chapter 12, yes. So you got, look at verses 1 and 2. What you have here is that a special dinner was given in honor of Jesus. He was coming to Bethany, and so they gave him a special dinner. You all know Bethany is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, right? Yeah. And so Jesus is coming. Isn't it just a beautiful thought to think of in your mind? Jesus is coming to your hometown and then coming to your house. Yeah, so they give him a special dinner. Y'all got verses 1 and 2? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Okay? So you got the picture? Now, you got to remember this. You cannot think of eating the way we eat. At this period of time in the East, and they still do it this way a lot now, you have seen movies where they eat on tables that are near the floor, yeah? And so this was a U-shaped table, very near the floor, and of course this would mean no chairs, but you can imagine the U-shaped table, which means that the host, hostess, can serve everybody, what? In the middle, from the middle of the table, you get? The table is called a triclinium. T-R-I-C-L-I-N-I-U-M. A triclinium. And so the hostess would serve from the inner part of the table. The guests would sit around the outside. You picture that. Now, because it's the table is so low to the ground, you leaned. That's the reason you hear, that's the reason you always read about them reclining at the table. So you lean on one elbow and you had the other one free to eat. You see the picture? When you're laying on the floor, you got to rest yourself on one, and then you got the other one free to eat. But you have to, your body has to be toward the table, which means what? Your feet are away. You get the picture? So everybody's there at the table. Their bodies are facing the table, but they're what? All of their feet are away. You get the picture? Okay. So there they are. There they are. And Mary, oh my. Y'all remember Mary the first time Jesus visited, and Mary is the one that just loved to sit at Jesus' feet, didn't she? Martha was just buzzing around serving, and I'm not being critical of Martha, but Martha was, you know, just buzzing around, and she was upset because Mary was what, sitting at Jesus' feet, just soaking it all up, because she was just that kind of worshipful woman. And so here we find that Mary sees an opportunity. Because when you love Jesus, you see opportunities that other people don't see. So she sees an opportunity to worship Jesus that other people don't see. Mary is overlooked. Nobody cares about Mary. But Jesus does. And she loves Jesus. And so she's going to demonstrate her love for Jesus, whatever, regardless of what other people think about her. You get the picture? And so Mary decides that she's going to worship Jesus with the most expensive thing she has and the most glorious thing that God has given her. Now you get this picture. The most expensive thing that she owns and the most glorious thing that God has given her. Y'all following so far? Okay, look at verse 3. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. There it is. You get it? The most expensive thing she had was this nard. And many of you who know the story knows that this pound of expensive perfume was about a year's, it took about a year's labor. You imagine today, you buying some perfume that would cost you, you see, not just $50 or $60, but cost you whatever you, I don't know what you make. Let's say you make $40,000, $50,000 a year. You got a $40,000, $50,000 vase of this ointment, you know, a pound. And you've invested in it. And whatever you were going to do with it, right now you see that the most important thing to do with it is to put it on Jesus' feet. Now you all need to follow this. You see, this only the Spirit can show you these kind of things.
Amen.
But then she realizes that it needs to be cleaned off. And the only thing available to her is what? Her hair. Now, remember, 1 Corinthians 11, the hair is what? It's a woman's glory. A woman's glory. So you see what I'm saying? She was willing to humble herself and use the most expensive thing that she owned and the most glorious thing given and worship Jesus with it. We together?
Amen.
True worship. That's what we're talking about. True worship. See, there was love and generosity and humility and joy in her worship. And by the way, this was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. There's another Mary mentioned, I believe, in Luke 7. That's another case of where this penitent woman, you know, came and... Y'all remember that? There's another story. But John 11, 2 says that this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. So you can see the connection there, right? Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're all there. You follow me? I'm going to have to move on. I can't give you any more details right now. So you with me? You follow me so far? Because I'm probably going to be long as it is. And so the next thing I want you to see here is the criticism that comes. Criticism. When you've worshiped the Lord with all your heart, and the criticism that comes. And so the thing about it is that when this kind of worship takes place, criticism comes from those who do not love Jesus. And those who have wrong motives for being in the place of worship anyway. Now you got to follow me now. Because if your motives are right and your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you're not looking at what others do. You're trying to worship the Lord with your heart. You get it?
Amen.
But we got a picture here. You got verse 4. But Judas... that's probably as much as I need to say for you all to get the picture. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment sold? Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii?" You see, that's a year's salary. 300 denarii and given to the poor. You think he was interested in the poor?
No.
We're going to get some insight here in the next verse. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but what? Because he was a thief. Now here's a thief criticizing somebody worshiping Jesus. A thief criticizing how somebody worships Jesus. A thief has the audacity to criticize someone who wants to give generously to Jesus. A thief. You get it? So don't let critics bully you when you know you're doing yours. What you're doing is for the Lord. You get it? He was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He was stealing from Jesus all the time. Here's someone giving all that she has, and here's a thief wanting what this woman is giving to worship so he can use it for himself. And that, you get the picture there? Got the audacity to criticize someone who's genuinely worshiping. But you look at it, look at what Jesus does. Jesus is a great encourager. He knows when people are coming on you. He knows when people are causing your heart to be heavy, when you know what you've done is right. He knows that. And so you see, Jesus gives encouragement to the true worshiper. Gives encouragement. You'll see verse 7. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus will come to your rescue. That's the reason you need to pray, vindicate me, Lord. I've got critics all around me, but don't try to argue with people. Vindicate me, Lord. Search my heart. You know me. So, y'all get the picture here? I got to go. I got to move on because, it'll be long. y'all got that one. So that's worship from Mary. So the next thing we're going to do, let's look at worship from a Jewish crowd. And so when we come here, we're going to see that there's devotion and sacrifice. That's what I see next. So you got verse, drop down to verse 12. You're in chapter 12? Drop down to verse 12. And there you see the next day. You see, after this episode, the next day. Now, I don't want to belabor this too much. That would be, it's the week of Abib, which is the week of Passover. Of course, Abib 14 is Passover. So, we're getting close to the actual day that they're going to sacrifice the lamb and the actual day that Jesus is going to die. But this is the next day after the supper at, y'all got it, the dinner rather. Verse 12 says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Yeah. So the next day, Jesus enters Jerusalem as the prophetic king and Messiah. Yeah? And you see, he receives a king's welcome because they are making sacrifices and they are they're worshiping and praising him. See verse 13. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Amen. Yeah. And by the way, the account of this in Matthew 21, this account only talks about the palm branches, but the account in Matthew 21 said that they took their cloak, their outer garment. Now you got to visualize this. They took their outer garments and threw them on the ground. This is amazing. Some, you all know about how outer cloaks were personal. Some of them made very intimately for an individual. And to take it and throw it on the ground for a donkey to walk on. You get the picture? So that's a sacrifice, a personal sacrifice made because the king. That's all I got. But what I got, I give. Amen. You see the picture? So the king is here. And so he's being worshipped as the king. Hallelujah. So they spread their cloaks on the road and they take these branches of palm trees and wave them and throw them on the ground and say what? Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The King. He's the King. He's the King of Israel. It's a wonderful thing to know who the king is today. You don't have to get all involved in all these political arguments. I see so many Christians that get so angry with these political arguments. There's only one king. He doesn't have a political party. And until he comes back, there's going to always be problems and issues. Yeah? Just know who the king is and worship him. I see Christians act like they worship a political party. Come on. And certainly you don't need to get involved in trying to worship a political person. Y'all get the point. The king. Know who the king is and worship him. And also, though, I see the same pattern. There's criticism, but there's determination. And so I want to say to you that even when you don't fully understand all that's going on, even when you don't fully understand, you need to worship God with what you do understand. Don't use the excuse that you don't understand to keep you from worshiping God. Worship him what little bit you have. I remember how when you really think about the thief on the cross, I remember hearing the preacher really come at this thing. For all these people who say you got to be baptized, something's wrong with your theology. The thief on the cross says, no, you don't. You got to speak in tongues. The thief on the cross says, no, you don't. The thief on the cross negates all that theology. Because the thief on the cross worshiped God with what he, right there. Didn't have a Bible. There's no indication that he even knew Bible verses. He didn't have time to memorize scripture. And all of these requirements that we lay on top of people. Worship God with what you know right now. Amen. That's all it is. Stop making excuses. All right? So you're at verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him. And had been done to him. And so I just say to you, continue to worship Jesus for the things he's already done. That's what I see in him. You see verse 17? The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. Why? Could worship God for what he's already done. Yeah, all of us have things we need God to do, but worship him for what he's already done. Amen. If you're here today, he has done great things for you. Yes. Yes? Great things. Worship him for what he's already done. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. Yeah. Worship him for what he's already done. I forget all of that. Psalm 91, what is it? Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. Oh, my. Yeah. Phil's got a song that we sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. He has done what? Marvelous thing. What he's already done. He's already done what he's already done. But trust me, it doesn't matter how serious your worship is, you're going to have critics. And you're going to have people opposing you. Right, you see verse 19? this is some ways it's kind of laughable. The Pharisees are kind of complaining here because they couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop the worship. Nobody can stop your worship. People trying to take prayer out of this thing and that. They can't stop your prayer. Nobody can stop you from praying. People can't stop your praise. You see verse 19? So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. We didn't make any ground with him. Look, the world has gone after him."
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You're going to have your critics. You just keep moving on. All right? Okay. Well, that's the second one. I got to keep moving. We got, all right? Y'all ready to move on? Let's keep going. The third group then is these Gentiles. And so you keep moving forward. Made our way down to verse 20. And with the Gentiles, I see something a little different. I call it devotion and curiosity. Yeah? Devotion and curiosity. And so what we have here is the Greeks now show up. The Greeks have come to the festival. And you see, the Greeks and the Gentiles, they don't have the history. They didn't have all the Old Testament scriptures and scrolls and all of that. But you remember what I told you. You need to worship God with what you do have, you see. And so they didn't have all of that history, but they knew enough to come and seek Jesus. They knew where to seek him, where he was, where he was supposed to be. You get it? Verse 20. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Yeah. See, that's because that's where Jesus is supposed to be. Let's go where Jesus is supposed to be. Yeah. And so, all of us need to think about that. Is your house a lighthouse in your community? Can people say, well, Jesus is the Lord of this house? Does the light shine from your house? Yeah, people just assume that it's always the church. And hopefully, but we learn from the book of Revelation, there are a lot of churches that ain't shining. The light's going out. It's a sad thing to say that people who should be able to go and find Jesus at the church, they go and they find people offering them new cars and gold teeth and all of this kind of foolishness. Now, it's sad. And we've talked about this before. You go to find Jesus and you see they're offering you all this other stuff. Because Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. But you what? You turned it into something different. Something different. But these Greeks show up because they know this is where Jesus is supposed to be. They came to the place where they knew Jesus could be found. And that's what I want to say to you today. This is true today. And so many people seem to be so critical of the unchurched. People unchurched show up and people look around at them with disdain, with your nose turned up because they didn't know how to dress. They didn't come in dressed like you thought they ought to be dressed. Or people that are undisciplined whatever you want to call it, biblically illiterate, you see. But they came. That ought to be the thing that encourages you. They came. They came. They were untaught and untrained, yes, but they came. Come to Jesus, what? Just as you are. I mean, you know, as a preacher, I could preach a sermon there too, but you know, I got to keep moving. All right. So, in addition to that, I see one more thing here, and we'll kind of leave this thing alone for today. The next one is what I call determination. And here, you see that the Greeks started with someone who could help them in their pursuit. You see? So that's what I see in verse 21. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Yeah? Because he's been with Jesus, you know? He is a disciple. And so he can help us in our pursuit. They know enough to do that. And so regardless of who you are, if you know enough to seek out people who can help you, do it. Do what you know to do. And then the last thing I see here is that they were patient. When they did not find Jesus immediately, they were patient. And their patience was ultimately rewarded. That determination, God rewarded them. You see verse 22? Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Yeah. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And that's what we're going to pick up next week. God say in Jeremiah 29, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart," right? "When you seek me with all your heart." Not when you seek me with all your Bible knowledge and all your Bible verses and all of this. And I'm not criticizing, obviously. You need to study your Bible. You need to know your Bible. But you need to seek God with all your what? All your heart. All your heart. You'll find me. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. And so, just like Jesus is a lighthouse, and just like he was shining back then, he's shining in this dark world in which we live today. He's still shining. Y'all believe that? He's still shining, and he's calling anyone. He's calling everyone, "Come to me. Come to me," because you see, he's no respecter of persons. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You see, I'll give you rest. So as we try to bring things to a close, you see, it really does not matter who you are. As long as you humbly surrender to Christ. That's what I want to communicate to you today. As long as you humbly surrender to Christ, because in Christ there is neither what? Jew nor Gentile, right? Slave nor free, male nor female. Not in Christ. Doesn't matter who you are. Come to Christ and worship. Worship, worship him with a worthy sacrifice. Worship him with the best you have to offer. Why would you save something for some other occasions when you know you're holding back your best from Christ? Worship Him with the best you have to offer. Worship Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Worship Him with the understanding that you already have. Seek Him while He may be found. Worship Him regardless of the level of criticism you get, regardless of the level of opposition that you get. Worship Him regardless of the traditions of people around you that may not fit with what you God is calling you to do. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him because He's worthy to be praised. Worship Him. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power and dominion and riches forever and ever. Worship Him. Now behold the Lamb who takes away our sin. That's why we worship Him. Behold the Lamb. That's why we worship Him. That's why we give Him our all. Every time we look at Him, we realize He gave His all for me. Jesus died that I may live. Yeah. I'll live for Him. What? He died for me. That's why I worship Him. He's worthy to be lifted up and worshiped. And for those, if there's anyone here or anyone joining us via Zoom that does not know Christ this way, I simply invite you to get rid of all of the shenanigans and all of the phony stuff. If you know you don't know Christ, this is the day to get real. Amen. You see, as an old song we used to sing years and years and years ago called Midnight is Coming. Midnight. When what? No man can work. We're in the 11th hour. And so you need to come while it's day. Come to Christ while it's day, while it's the day of grace. So I invite you again, whether you're here via Zoom or whether you'll hear this message sometime later, come to Christ now. Come to Him now. Father, thank You for these few minutes that we had together to think through these issues.